Our next speaker is Dr. Lynch, speaking to us about productivity and nitrogen dynamics under extended organic potato rotations in Atlantic Canada.
Thanks very much. So good afternoon, everybody. I'm really glad to be here first time in Texas and really enjoying it. I'm going to talk about a number of studies are just sort of a review of some highlights of work we've done over the last 6-7 years on commercial organic potato farms and then in experimental trials mimicking those farm systems in Truro, Nova Scotia, but in a number of the Atlantic provinces in eastern Canada. I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. May Sharifi, Dr. Burton, Dave Burton, and Andy Hammermeister, all at the Agricultural College in Truro, Nova Scotia. So just to start, what's different about organic potato farms, at least the farms I've been working with, and probably the first and most striking thing about these farms is the length of the rotation and how that differs from their neighbouring conventional farms. For perhaps obvious reasons, they're integrating forages and they're integrating green manures into the rotation, and often these go for 2 or 3 years at length. Usually there's a grain crop in there as well, organic wheat or organic barley, before you're back to potatoes. So typically potatoes are 1 year in five in the rotation. Sometimes that's down to 1 year in four. So in a study MSc student, master student Karen Nelson did a few years ago, we went out and decided, well, let's just look at the soil quality properties or soil health properties, our potential benefits of these long rotations. And I just want to touch on what we saw. Here is the potato phase on each of the four farms over 2 years, earthworm number, earthworm biomass. But basically, that extended rotation allowed a tremendous recovery of earthworms, 4 million earthworms per hectare, similar to what you're seeing in undisturbed pastures. Adjacent. So a tremendous recycling of the biological component. We saw similar patterns with microbial quotient or microbial biomass as a fraction of total carbon. So it certainly suggested what a lot of these farmers like to believe, that they're really working with the biological component of soil, seemed to be true. How this affects nitrogen dynamics, and I'm mostly going to talk about nitrogen, we don't really know. So let's focus in on productivity. So in a separate study, we just went back out onto some of these farms. Typical rotation they were practicing, just looked at yield, measured total nitrogen uptake, and what did we find? Well, typically yields were, and there's a fairly limited data set, but yields tended to be in that 25 to 30 tons per hectare, about 25% lower than conventional yields in the region. And it mimicked or compared closely with data out of Germany, Europe, with a much larger data set of organic potato farms, where they're not always using green manures, sometimes they're using manures. And total nitrogen uptake, tubers, above ground, everything else, was typically in the 100 to 130 kilograms of N per hectare. But is nitrogen use efficiency? And Kirschman, an agronomist out of Sweden, is a strong critic of organic systems. And following his long-term study about 5 or 6 years ago, he argued, yes, you're maintaining soil organic matter often in organic systems, but the nitrogen use efficiency is not necessarily that good. Moeller looked at about 70 to 100 farms in Germany and looked at took a measure of nitrogen use efficiency as how much N was in the crop for every 10 tons of potato yield, and found it looked actually a little bit more favorable in the organic systems than the conventional systems. Another measure of sustainability of these systems, of course, would be residual soil nitrates, especially in our region, as you've heard with many other speakers before. We can expect to lose any leftover nitrate in the soil in the fall to leaching and to water systems. So here was this was another study where we actually went back onto the farms and applied some two contrasting materials, a compost or a very different organic fertilizer, a pelletized manure product, quite soluble and high in available N. And we could see residual soil nitrate was around, in some cases with the control plots, 25 to 50 kg of mineral N per hectare, with the compost not markedly influenced. But certainly, I guess all I'm trying to say here is we really found that we could certainly bump up yields with some further organic fertilization. Yields would go up another 5 or 7 tons per hectare, but the environmental impact went up as well. So we can certainly over-fertilize organically as well. So could we develop a soil test to tell organic farmers whether they should supplement, or is that rotation adequate? So we've played around, and Bernie mentioned earlier, we've been looking at one particular approach. Could we use something like anion exchange, cation exchange membranes in combination to look at mineralizable end flux in the spring? And maybe Sharifi did much of this work with me. And it's still a somewhat limited data set, but at least it was quite encouraging that this has promise, this approach, and we're continuing to use this tool. So I'm going to finally finish with just a look at a larger study which we finished over the last 5 years, replicated trial at the college, which tried to integrate a number of these questions around green manure and whether or not to combine them with supplemental N. Here we were looking at two very contrasting green manures, red clover and vetch, and two what you might call novel sources of compost. Many organic farms don't have manure and are stockless operations, so we wanted to look at municipal and industrial compost as possible sources for these farms as well in this trial. Measured a whole host of things. I won't have time to talk about them all at all, but extending some of the work we've done previously, looking at nitrogen-phosphorus availability, soil quality indicators, greenhouse gas emissions, an aspect that we couldn't really do well on the farms, and then overwinter end losses. Study looked like this. These were 4 crop rotations, all 5 years long. Potatoes only occurring 1 year, always at the same year for all of the crop rotations. And then the difference, I'm going to just talk about crop rotation 1, 3, and 4 in terms of the differences I'm mostly going to focus on today was the type of green manure. Red clover, 2 years of red clover versus 1 year of oats, peas, and vetch in a mixture as a green manure. Very different green manure. We didn't have to wait 5 years for results. We partially fully phased the experiment, so potatoes recurred every 2 years. So we had data on potato response in 2006, 2008, and 2010. So those were the main plots. In the subplots, we applied different rates of fertility amendments. Here's the two composts, basically higher quality with the municipal compost, higher N, higher P content than the paper mill compost. And then we had a further 2 subplots, the control, but again, this is perhaps a little unusual control that you must remember. It is the green manure alone, whereas the other subplots had either supplemental N fertilizer, N and P fertilizer, or the two composts. But these are very moderate rates of compost, 7 tons, 10 tons per hectare, supplying 82 to 120 kilograms of N. But again, these are composts. You might expect maybe 10%, maybe 15% might be available. We applied them actually on a phosphorus basis, and the reasons for that I can explain if there's a question on it. Whereas the supplemental N, we gave credit for the green manure and then went in with just a supplemental amount of N fertilizer to see the added response. Green manure, or greenhouse gas measuring, hill and furrow, but also in the adjacent green manure phase, in the legume phase. We wanted to look at the net greenhouse gas emissions, not just focus on the potato phase. And we also did this in the following residual years, not only in the potato years, so we'd be on in the control plots the year after potato as well to see if there was a follow-on effect, carryover effect of the green manure in terms of emissions. In terms of yields, we found very similar to what we found on the farms. With nothing applied other than that green manure, we were getting in that 30 tons per hectare per year. Whereas there was a small benefit of the MS, the higher quality compost, whereas the fertilizer pushed yields up, the supplemental fertilizer pushed yields up into that 40 tons per hectare per year. And this is for 2008 and 2010. But interestingly, there was no effect of rotation. In other words, 1 year of vetch was as effective as 2 years of red clover. And I think that's a very practical result out of this study. Many of these farms tend to use red clover just out of habit, perhaps, and they could consider this a very productive 1 year annual green manure as an option. What about N uptake? It looks like this, about 100 kg of N from green manure alone, slight increase with the compost and then the fertilizer. Whereas N uptake, if we look at the supply of N from that, this is again the red clover, was substantially higher and significantly higher in some years for the vetch alone, which suggests that the yields weren't different, suggests that N from that red clover was more inefficient, we could say. And if we actually looked at that in terms of the way Moeller approached it, just like the amount of N uptake per 10 tons of yield, and the vetch alone was definitely producing 10 tons of potatoes with a more moderate amount of N required than the red clover or the fertilizer. In terms of residual soil N, here's taking soil cores to 90 centimeters in the fall after harvest, and then coming back the following year, the follow-on year, to look at what's left over. This is just 2008. We're still looking at our 2010 to 2011 data. There's that red clover. It wasn't significant. It was quite variable, the data, but you can see numerically it's higher for that red clover compared to the vetch, leftover residual N. And then about 50% lost over the season. Perhaps it was higher than that. This might be some mineralized N in the spring. And the last topic is just that greenhouse gases. A typical pattern we were sort of finding, it was all about spring emissions. And there's just two slides on the greenhouse gas data. Here's the potato phase. So the red clover fixing nitrogen, as many studies have shown, the emissions are quite small from red clover actively fixing nitrogen, or from legumes fixing nitrogen, whereas once it's incorporated and amended, we're getting a much more substantial amount of N emissions. But interestingly, this is one of perhaps a few studies which followed the same plots the following year and looked at the residual emissions, and this range here is much smaller than over here, so there was no carryover effect in terms of emissions of those green manures. And then lastly, as we also found, as I alluded to earlier, that red clover was losing much more N2O, so not only having a higher residual soil mineral N, but also putting out during the season much more N2O than the vetch alone. And no major effect of the subplots on N2O. So to summarize, is extended organic rotations allow for acceptable yields, at least with the premiums they're getting, and they're quite viable economically, these farms, with reduced losses of N because they're less intensive systems, and benefits to soil quality and health, as we've measured. Crop N uptake is usually, we've found both on farms and in our parallel sort of trials, in that range of 100 to 130 kilograms per acre with green manures alone. But it's interesting, this relative efficiency of the oats, pea, and vetch. And we'll have to look at our soil data and try and understand why that vetch N was more efficient than the red clover N as a previous crop. N losses to air and water, this is just very general, and we'll have to look at the data more closely, appear proportional, so there's not a proportional less emissions from organic materials in terms of contribution to air and water. And we supplemental amendments can be justified, but we need to keep going on our approach to gauging soil N in the spring to have a look at that more closely. And thanks very much.
About a minute remains for questions, so if you have any questions.
Derek, yeah.
What's the market for organic potatoes, and is it growing? And so how fast?
I could probably answer some of that multi-barreled question, but it is definitely, the farmers we've worked with, it is a small set of farmers. There might be 10, 15, that's in the Atlantic region, that are focused exclusively on organic potatoes. Their premiums are often, it's a sort of immature market, so they're getting 5 to 10 times sometimes conventional price. And they're shipping the shipping into central Canada and to major retailers, so it's not all local market at all. Generally, organic as a whole, it keeps in Canada growing at that 20% per year, so I can't separate that out into organic potato production.